All right, we begin tonight with a second in a series of lectures on the Christian life. Our first lecture was called God's Old Creation, Adam and the Spirit. Adam and the Holy Spirit. And our second lecture on out of four on the Spirit-filled Christian life and the life of the Spirit is God's Old Creation, Part 2, Adam and the Sinner. We have Adam and the Spirit. And then our second lecture, God's Old Creation, Adam and the Sinner. Adam and the Sinner. Or you could subtitle it, Adam and You. Because that's who you are, right? Adam and the Sinner. Now, amazing as it may seem to some people, what Adam did in the Garden of Eden thousands of years ago profoundly affects your life in 1973. And one of the great biblical truths that we're going to look at tonight is how Adam's fall affected the entire human race and what was the result of his fall. You'll remember, as we looked at the close of last week's lecture, we saw how that in the Garden of Eden there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. We're going to go back to that little illustration tonight of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've got Adam right there in the middle. Adam is a creature of choice. Now, Adam was a person who had free will. Adam had free will. And he was faced with a choice. And that choice, you recall, was to live by faith or to live in the power of his own choices, to live in the flesh. We said that the tree of life represents the tree of dependence, you recall? And dependence is just another word for faith. To depend upon someone is to put your faith in someone. Adam was created to depend upon God for his life. His life, God's life within him. Adam in himself had no spiritual life. Man without God has no spiritual life. Only God has spiritual life. And God put his spiritual life inside Adam. So Adam's spiritual life came by depending upon God for his life. God was Adam's life. Now, he also was faced with a choice that he could know the knowledge of life without God and he could experience evil. He'd know the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I would call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the tree of independence or the tree of do your own thing. Do it. Do your own thing. Now, as we looked at our lecture last week, remember we defined man as what? The word Adam means a creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. Now, if you don't remember anything else I teach in this course, you remember what a man is created to be. Man is created to be a creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. Now, two things we want to say about this. One, Adam was created to be God-centered. Adam was created to be God-centered, living by dependent trust in God for his life. He was created to be God-centered, depending or living by dependent trust in God for his life. Living by dependent trust in God for his life. Now, Satan's temptation in the garden. Satan tempted Adam to play God. He tempted Adam to play God and to live by self-effort. In Genesis chapter 3, we are told in verses 1 through 4 that Satan came to Eve in the garden and he said that the day that you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as what? Gods. In effect, Satan said this. Eve, God has told you that you're the glove and he's the hand. He has told you that every time you walk through the garden and you see the tree of life, that tree of life was to remind you that he is God and you are man. and that it takes God in you for you to be a man. But that's not true, because God knows the day that you partake of the tree of knowledge that your eyes will be open and you'll discover that you are the hand and the glove, that you are life, that you are God. God's trying to make a slave out of you. And he says that you're his son, but no, you're really his slave. And that's the pitch that Satan sold them, isn't it? So when Adam was tempted, what Satan was trying to do, and I want you to catch this, because Satan has never changed his M.O. of operation. He has never changed it down through the centuries. Satan himself, when he was the angel Lucifer, he thought he was God. Isn't that right? And Satan went on the first cosmic ego trip when he rebelled. And the same temptation that he himself created, he tried to get Adam and Eve to join with him in that same rebellion, to play God. In other words, to live in your own effort, to live in your own strength. And that's exactly the temptation that Adam and Eve yielded to. Now, what I want you to see is this. There was never any such thing as self until Adam sinned. The only self that Adam knew was God in him, that he was a child of the King. The only self-identity he had was in his relationship to God. In other words, Adam's whole life revolved around God, like a love affair, where a husband and a wife just live for one another. The only self-identity Adam had was his identity as a child of God. But when he sinned and stepped out in self-effort, his personality, which was created to be independent, God-centered, he became self-centered. Now, we're going to talk about this. Let's talk about Roman numeral 2. That Roman numeral 1 right here, really, it was man was created to live by faith. And we already looked at that. Man was created to live by faith. Then secondly, we want to look at the results of Adam's rebellion. The results of Adam's rebellion. What happened when Adam succumbed to Satan's temptation? Number one, he died. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But I don't know whether you really understood this. When the Bible says the wage of sin is death, what does it really mean when it says the wage of sin is death in Romans 6:23? All right, Adam died. How did he die? Arabic 1 in parentheses, he died physically. Arabic 2 in parentheses, he died what? Spiritually. He died. And he was really dead. Yeah, I guess he did, and then he died physically second. Either way it is, he's dead. I don't think it really matters. Now, I want you to understand something. If Adam had never sinned, he never would have died physically. God never intended that there should be any such thing as death, heart disease, old age. This was not God's plan. Everything God does, he does perfect. There is no imperfection in God's creation. Death is the curse of Adam's rebellion. Secondly, he died spiritually. Now, by dying spiritually, what do we mean? What do we mean when he say he died spiritually? All right, the first thing we mean is he lost God. What does it mean to die spiritually? Adam lost his relationship to God. You remember the Bible says he was kicked out of the Garden of Eden? Eden is where God dwelled in fellowship with his most prized creation, man. And the symbolism of Genesis is when he was kicked out of Eden, he was separated from God. He lost God. Now, wait a minute. God is what? Life. So for Adam to lose his relationship to God was to die how? Spiritually. The hand withdrew from the glove, so to speak. The Holy Spirit withdrew from Adam's spirit, from the human spirit. Remember last week talked about that the human spirit was a capacity for morality, a capacity to love, and a capacity to reason? God's ability left Adam's capacity. And the Holy Spirit withdrew from the human spirit. He died. So the Holy Spirit left man. Adam and Eve lost their relationship with God. The Holy Spirit departed. Secondly, or B, under spiritually, he died spiritually. To lose God was to lose life, plain and simple. To lose God was to lose life. And here's what I mean by that. Adam was dead to all the things that made him a man. He was dead to all the things that made him a man. And the things that made him a man were the things that were within his human spirit. Morality, love, and reason. He became dead to morality. What to do with his life. He became dead to love. He knew he ought to love, but he lost the ability to love. He was dead to reason as to who he was as a person. What he was to be as a person. He no longer understood truth, you see. He became confused about truth. He lost the ability to love and morality, what to do with his life, how to behave. So, he was dead to all the things that made him a man. Now, I want you to notice something. Adam was not dead in his soul. He still had intellect, didn't he? Still had a brain. He could still think. He was still the most highly developed creature in the intellectual sense on the face of the earth. He could still feel. He still had his sensual capacities. And he could still choose. He became soulish instead of spiritual. Now listen, you can be alive in your soul and dead where? In your spirit. And it's in your spirit where your true manhood is an image of God. That's very important because we're going to see a little bit later how man lives in his soul when he's dead in his spirit. So Adam was dead, dying physically. The curse of death came, and spiritually he was dead because he lost his relationship with God. All right, here's the second thing. He died. Second thing we want to say, let me just move up a little bit. Second thing we want to say, you died with him. You died with him. He died. You died. You died with him. Now Romans tells us, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, so that when Adam sinned, death came into existence. So death passed to all men. Death passed to all men. As in Adam, all die. Romans 5:12. Now I told you these lectures are an overview of the first eight chapters of the book of Romans, and you're going to see us pulling verses out of Romans. And I'm not going to dwell on any of these thoughts because I'm giving you an overview in four lectures, and then we're going to come back and look at these whole all these passages in detail. So, death passed upon all men. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean two things by that. When we say, you died. We are sons of Adam. If I trace your ancestry back, who's going to be your great-great-grandfather? Way on back there. Adam. All right? We are sons of Adam, born without God's life within us. That's the point. You died with him. Adam was created, and the Holy Spirit was breathed into him. But we are born after Adam's likeness. Sons of Adam, born without the Holy Spirit. Therefore, born without spiritual life. Second thing, therefore we are dead physically and spiritually. We know that the curse of physical death is upon the whole human race, don't we? And I don't even have to prove that. Just look at the cemeteries all over town. All right, third thing. He died. Adam was given a new name. The result of Adam's sin, we're talking about. What was the result of the fall? He was given a new name. Now, what was the new name God gave Adam? Remember what his new name was? Well, I sure you do. He's given a new name. What is it? Sinner. That's very important. I want to see if I can teach you something tonight that maybe you haven't thought about. Now, the name Adam means what? A creature in whom the life of God dwells in controlling fellowship. It means man. And it takes God in you to make you a man. Isn't that right? To make you the creature God created you to be. When Adam lost God, he was no longer a creature in whom the life of God dwelled in controlling fellowship. So God had to give him a new name. Adam means man as God created him. Sinner means man as Adam created him. See? So, the word sinner means that same creature without God's life within. That's all the world this word sinner means. It means man as Adam created him. A creature without God. Sinner means man without God. That's what the word sinner means. It means man without God. Now, when I say that sinner means man without God, It simply means that man is godless. If I say you're a godless person, we tend to take by that means that you're evil, that you're vicious, that you're wicked, that you're immoral. But no, what the Bible means is you're not spiritual. You see? You're dead. If I say you're godless, as God would say it, you're man less God. It's a vacant human spirit without the Holy Spirit. So sinner is just a name that God gives Adam without Him. You see, that which made Adam, Adam, was his fellowship with God. When he lost his fellowship with God, God had to give him a new name. And God gave him a new name, and that name is sinner. You know, we don't like to be told we're sinners. But really, biblically speaking, the word sinner does not have these strong ethical overtones that we give to it. We think of sinner in terms of sins, don't we? Prostitution or murder or something like this, you see. But sinner is a theological word. It's describing man in his lost condition. Man without the life of God within him. Man in his spiritual deadness. All right? Now, he was given a new name. Fourthly, you were given his name. Adam was given a new name. And because you're his son, you were given his name. Now, my name is Barry Wood because my father was Carol Jack Wood. I was given my father's name. All right? I was given my ancestor Adam's name. He's got a new name. What is it? Sinner. Now, the Bible says in the book of Romans, I think it's Romans 5:19, we were made sinners. Because of Adam's sin, many were made sinners. Isn't that Romans 5:19? I believe it is. Now, we're all sinners after Adam's likeness. We were given his name. Now, you didn't even have to commit a sin to be a sinner because you were born without the Holy Spirit. Whether you ever commit a single sin, God looked down upon you and he's got a name for you, sinner, man without God. Now, that'll bring up the question, well, what if does God damn us? Are we born damned? Are babies born condemned? And that's for a study in the book of Romans, and we'll get there a little bit later. But let's just look at this. All right, the fifth thing. Adam received a new nature. He got a new name. Fifthly, he got a new nature. He received a new nature. Adam received a new nature. All right, now this is very important. Adam received a new nature. I said that Adam was created morally neutral. He had no bias toward evil. Adam was not created to be a robot. He created him a free moral agent. Man could choose to love God, to respond to God's fellowship, or he could choose to obey. Now, Adam's nature was that of free will. He was a glove that could be yielded to the hand if he chose to be. But now what I want you to see is this. The Bible says that Adam's nature was changed from God-centeredness to self-centeredness. When he sinned, he became biased. He went on tilt, so to speak, just like this. His nature went on tilt toward self. That's the knowledge that he gained. Now the devil was so subtle, he said, you'll gain the knowledge of good and evil. That's not the knowledge that he gained at all. You know what Adam learned? He learned what it was to be a man without God. Self. He lost God and gained the knowledge of self. Now, he really took a good look at himself too because he found out what he could and couldn't do. He gained the knowledge of self and his nature was changed from that of God's rule. His nature was changed from that of God rule because he was created to be ruled by God. To self-rule. He not only lost the Holy Spirit, but when he lost the Holy Spirit, his very personality was changed. A constitutional change was made in Adam's personality. Self. Now, the Bible uses the word flesh, doesn't it? And the Bible uses a lot of words to describe what happened to Adam's new nature. The Bible calls it self. The Bible calls that new nature the flesh. And these are all words you're going to find in the book of Romans. The flesh. Now, when the Bible uses the word flesh, it's not talking about, you know, my skin and my bones and all that. It's talking about what happened in the human spirit. Way down here where my sense of morality and love and reason are. What happened in the image of God? The image of God was changed. Instead of living for God's glory to self-glory, and the Bible gives that fallen nature the word flesh. The Bible calls it the old what? The old man. The old self. The Adamic nature. These are all synonyms for what happened to Adam. His personality was changed. He who was made for God began to live for himself. And boy, he shriveled up. Because I'm going to tell you something, your personality is not nigger as big as God's. And man shriveled up within himself, and he became self-centered. Now, sixth thing I want you to see is, Adam not only received a new nature, but you received his nature. See how we all are participating in Adam's fall? You received his nature. You were born with the Adamic nature, Adam's selfish nature. You were born with his nature. Now, let me just comment on six for a moment. You see, the problem with every one of us, we get the idea from time to time that we're basically good people, that our environment leads us astray. You know, run with the wrong crowd, you learn bad habits, and therefore you slip. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I really came to understand what the Bible taught, for years and years as I was a Christian, I got the idea that I was pretty good. And occasionally, I would do bad things. Like I was a good guy who would slip every once in a while. But basically, I was a white sheep that ran around with black sheep, see. And we all kind of get this idea that our problems are without rather than within. And that if we could just, you know, just reform a little bit and just, you know, kind of shape up here and there, then we'll be better people. But now listen to what the Bible says about you and me. Your problem is, friend, you got bad blood. You were born into the wrong family. Your family tree is a mess. I mean, you got skeletons in your closet, boy, if we want to dig into your family tree. You see, you belong to the Adams family. And they're all monsters. They're selfish to the core. And you know, that's not what you're going to be taught in your psychology class. You know what they tell you, the behaviorists and the gestaltists? They say this, our problem is our environment. Man is basically good. And that if we could just put people in the right environment, get them out of the slums, give them the proper education, give them the proper background, then they'd be good people. That's a bunch of garbage. Listen, what kind of environment was Adam in when he sinned? The Garden of Eden. What kind of companions did he have? God was his companion. And in a perfect environment, this beautiful creature of God rebelled and sinned. And not only did he sin, he taught his children to sin. Because Cain followed just in his path, didn't he? Now, you see, here's what the Bible teaches. You could take a newborn baby, people, and put that newborn baby in a perfect environment where he would have no pressures whatsoever to lead him astray, and that baby will grow up to be a self-righteous, selfish person. I think the best illustration of this I ever heard was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt said, you know, you can take an old railroad bum who will steal a ride on a railroad, and you can take that railroad bum, send him to Harvard University, give him a law degree, and educate him, put him in a silk suit and let him drive a Cadillac, and he'll steal the whole railroad if he gets enough education. You see, all we can do is educate the mind, but we can't change the heart. And the Bible says the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Have you ever noticed little children? I've got four children of my own. I want to tell you something. I think my kids got pretty good blood. You know? But listen, they're monsters. Have you ever noticed a newborn baby? A baby is born selfish. And people who work with children, they believe in the old man. They believe in the flesh. The Adam nature, they really do. Because a baby wants what he wants when he wants it. I could be sitting down talking to the President of the United States in my living room, and if my kid wanted something, he's going to scream bloody murder till he gets his way. Do you know that we spend our entire lives trying to teach our children to think of other people first? Isn't that right? Why do we have laws, traffic laws and what have you? It's to keep people from running over other people. Because man is selfish. Where did he get that nature? He was born with it. You were born with two strikes against you. I want you to understand that. Theologians call it total depravity. Adam twisted the image of God from God rule to self rule, from God centeredness to self centeredness. And my friend, you commit sin. You do what you do because you are what you are. It's one of the best things I'll ever say to you. You do what you do because you are where you are. And friend, you're going where you're going. To hell. Not because you do what you do. God never sent anybody to hell because they committed sin. They go there because they are what they are. Sinners. And if we can't change what you are, we're not going to change what you do. And if we can't change what you are, you're going to do what you do, and you're going to go where you're going to go. You see? So we were born with Adam's nature. Now, this is extremely important that you understand that. You know why? Because so many Christians, we come to the place where we get saved, see? And we ask the Lord Jesus into our life. And we think that the Lord just kind of patched us up, you know? We had some moral problems here, and we had some discipline problems here, had some religious problems here. And the Lord kind of patches us up. But basically, we were pretty good. Like having a sound engine and a bad body on a car. We think God just gave us a paint job and sent us out. So now we, who are basically good, are going to go out and live for God. Boy, that's just not it at all. Because you see, when Adam lost God, he became a dead man. Dead in the things that made him a man. Dead in the spiritual realm. Dead in the spiritual life. And a dead man can't live for God. Dead man can't live at all. He's dead. And we receive that nature, selfishness. Okay, now we're going to talk about Adam and you. Adam and the sinner, Romans number 3. Adam and the sinner. How did all this affect you right now? We're going to really get down to it. Adam and the sinner, Romans number 3. Okay, Adam and you, Romans 8, 9. Now we're going to bring all this up to date to the 20th century. Romans 8, 9 says this. One of the most important verses in the book of Romans and in all the Bible. The flesh cannot please whom? God. I want you to see that. The flesh cannot please God. Now here's what this amounts to. If I do what I do because I am what I am, that means that every motive, be it good work or bad, every motive that comes out of my true nature will be what kind of a motive? Selfish. Everything. That means going to church, reading my Bible, praying, witnessing. If it's all done out of my nature, it's basically evil. Selfish to the core. Don't you know people like the Pharisees who go to church to be seen of men? Isn't that right? You see, the problem with the whole Pharisees, the reason Jesus had to condemn them over again, the motive was wrong. Isn't that right? The whole Sermon on the Mount is the motive test. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And he gave illustration after one, talking about the human heart. It's not what we do. It's what we are, what we think, our very being. So what I want you to see is this. We need to learn this tonight. I want to give you an axiom of the Christian life. This is one of those great axioms of life. And if you learn this, you've learned a great truth in this course. Because the flesh cannot please God. And what is the flesh? My old Adam nature. My old selfish life. Because I was born dead in trespasses and sins. I was born without the Holy Spirit. And because I was created to live by faith, depending upon God for my life, anything that is not of faith, anything that I do in my own strength, coming out of my own nature, can never please God. So here's what we're going to learn. Axiom of the Christian life. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Because of Adam's sin and my participation as a part of fallen humanity, there is nothing I can do to save myself, to help myself in the spiritual realm. Can a dead man serve God? He's dead. Dead man can't do anything but be dead. And when Adam lost the Holy Spirit, he died. He was dead. And you were born just like him, spiritually dead. So let's learn this tonight. A Christian is not a person who tries to live for God. Isn't that right? Because if it's me living for God, coming out of my nature, God can never accept self. Self-effort, self-will, God can never accept self. Now, I want to show you something. You can put all of the world's religions. I think I better save this thought because we're coming to that in just a moment. Okay. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Let me share two thoughts with you here. One, Adam's sin was that he stopped trusting and started trying. Adam's sin was that he stopped trusting, which is what? Faith, isn't it? He stopped living by faith. He stopped trusting and he started trying. He says, I am going to show God how good I am. And I'm going to gain the knowledge of good and evil. And when God sees how smart I am, he'll see how wonderful I am, that I'm just like him. I'm God. He stopped trusting and he started trying. That was Adam's sin. Second thing. Adam thought he could do right, love right, and be right without God. Adam thought he could do right, love right, and be right without God. Remember I said to you that the human spirit, the image of God, was a capacity for morality, a capacity to love, and a capacity for reason? Now notice, God is the ability. Man only has capacity. Adam's sin was that he thought that he could do right, morality, that he could love right, love, and he could be right without God. He thought he was hand in glove at the same time. But what I want you to see tonight is a dead man can't love. A dead man can't do good works. A dead man can't philosophize and be anything but dead. Because Romans 14:23 is another great verse from Romans. Romans 14:23 says, that which is not of faith is sin. That's one of the great axioms of the Bible. That which is not of, that's a one sentence definition of what sin is. What is sin? That's anything I do in my own strength that is not of faith. Anything. Anything that I do in my own strength that is not depending upon God for my His life within me is sin. Did you know that's why religion can become a sin? Did you know that reading your Bible, if it's done just in the flesh, just to, you know, to impress somebody how much Bible you know, is a sin? Did you know you can go to church and sit in church and listen to Dr. Pickett preach or any other preacher and sin by doing it? The Jews used to sin by going to church all the time. Their motives were wrong. It was to be seen of men. It was self on parade, wasn't it? I went to church today. See? That which is not of faith is sin. Because if it's not of faith, it comes from the flesh. Isn't that right? So we learn our total inability to do anything for ourselves in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm going to tell you very briefly, in 5 minutes, where religion came from. Okay? Let's make this, this will be number three. When Adam sinned, he invented religion. When Adam sinned, he invented religion. May I erase all this up here? It's just a bunch of garbage anyway. My chicken scratch. I don't know why I even write on the blackboard. It looks like something a LSD spastic would write. Adam was created to live by faith. He was created to be Superman. With the supernatural life of God within him, he was created to live the way Jesus lived. But when Adam sinned, he devolved, not evolved. And from living on the spiritual level, he devolved to the animal level. Instead of living in his spirit, he began to live in his soul.
and in his physical body. Now, we said the soul was the intellect, the emotions, and the will. Now, when man lost God in his spirit and became a dead man, he began to live on the animal level. Now, he's a highly evolved or highly created animal. He has the highest intelligence on this planet and the highest developed nervous system and many other things. But when man began to live on the animal level, you see, Adam knew that he was created for God. And I try to illustrate it this way. Where did religion come from? You see, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, I see them sitting down with their children, Cain and Abel, and Seth, and the others. And their children begin to ask questions because the human spirit is there. They worry about right and wrong, morality. They know they ought to love one another. And they wonder about who they are, reason, truth. Who are we? Why are we here? They look out the universe and said, "Hey, Dad, who made all this?" And Adam says, "Oh, I know the guy did that. No, son, I knew the son of them did that." And I can see Adam and Eve sitting down with their children trying to tell them what the Garden of Eden is like. Can you imagine? And his boys just can't comprehend it. Do you mean you knew God? You talked to him? What was it like, Dad, before you blew it? And then Adam tries to tell them, but it's like trying to tell a person about love when they've never been in love. See? And Adam tries to tell how wonderful it was to know God and what God was like. And he says, "Boy, God was like a father. He was like a father, and I was his son." And his children just can't quite grab it. Then Seth grows up. Cain grows up. And they have children. And they try to tell their children what granddaddy told them. Then their children grow up, and they try to tell. And the story gets a little bit more used in the telling. You know how secondhand information is not quite as good as first-hand information? And Adam's children, the story began to get further and further removed until they didn't really understand who God was. Everything that Adam knew about God, that God was a father, that he was a son, it got so twisted and got so twisted. But let me tell you something. Adam's children still hungered for God. They still had the human spirit. They knew they ought to live right, but they didn't have the ability to live right. They knew they ought to love, but they didn't have the ability to love. They knew that they were created for some divine purpose, and they began to reason. And that's where philosophy comes from, isn't it? All philosophy is man's human spirit asking the question, "Who am I? Why am I here? Is there a purpose to life?" And so out of that hunger, out of that capacity that had no ability, man invented religion. It was trying to get back to what Grandpa Adam had. It's an attempt to get back to the Garden of Eden. That's what all religion is. It's man reaching up, people, trying to get back to what Adam had with God in the Garden of Eden. It's man trying to get fellowship with God. So man invents religion. But I want you to see something. Religion is man reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man. Nobody's ever been saved by being religious. Let me show you why. All religion is based on two things. Now, I can put it in one word. Self-effort. Now, as we get to Romans chapter 1, you're going to see where Paul talks about how man used to know God through natural revelation, and then he blew it. Here's why no man has ever been saved by being a good Hindu, a good Muslim, a good Jew, a good Baptist, or anything else. Religion is man in his soul trying to act like he's alive spiritually when he's dead. For instance, in man's soul with his intellect, he creates all kinds of doctrines for his faith. Well, the Buddhists have got their doctrine, and they have all their intellectual things, you know, and their philosophies where they intellectualize about their God. They've got all kinds of feelings, experiences, emotions, where you have religious experiences. That's why pagans can speak in tongues. And boy, you read in the New Testament, Apostle Paul had to put down a lot of pagan religions that had all kinds of emotions, and the Christians got involved in some of these pagan orgies and called them Christian experiences. And any pagan religion can give you a soulish experience where you feel an emotional high. You can get that on drugs. The devil can give you that kind of a religious experience. I've had a lot of kids telling me, man, they had a religious experience while they were on LSD. The devil can give you that. That doesn't mean it's of God. And man has many physical experiences. I mean, people have used their physical bodies through sex to worship God. See, temple prostitutes in Paul's day, all the woman religion. But now listen. All religion is based upon the old flesh, the Adam nature. It's man trying to say, hey, God, look at me. I'm not really all that bad. Hey, God, look what I do. I sacrificed my firstborn son to a volcano yesterday. See how good I am, God? See how much I love you? Religion. Hey, God, look at me. I got baptized by Dr. Sickett last week. Hey, God, look at me. I witnessed for Jesus last week. The flesh cannot please God. And I want you to see that all of the world's religions are based on works. Not one of the world's religions is based on faith. Not one. There's not a religion in the world that the way that they tell you to be saved is to live by faith. Trusting God. All the world's religions are based on the old Adam nature. It's self-effort. Man reaching up, trying to save himself by pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. That's why a good religious Jew is just as lost as a good religious Muslim. Or a good religious Baptist, or a good religious Catholic, or whatever. If he's not living by faith, he cannot please God. So all religion is man trying to raise up to what Adam had. I said it this way. All religion is man trying to raise up to what Adam had within. The Holy Spirit. So here's the action we want to close this lecture with. We want to learn this tonight. But because of Adam's sin, my total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Nothing we can do to impress God. God must do something for us. And if God doesn't do something for us, we are hopelessly, helplessly lost. We cannot know God. We cannot know who we are. We cannot know the purpose for our existence.